Welcome to the Rob and Kale Show. Rob Sanders.
His own mother slapped the stork that delivered him.
And Kale Hall.
He doesn't deserve to be in this business. He deserves to have been blackballed.
The Rob and Kale Podcast.
I'm not a fan. No more.
To the latest edition of the Rob and Kale Show. A little bit of a nice little opener there with our buddy Jim Cornette.
Hello, Jim.
Welcome to the show, Jackpot. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing pretty well tonight. I'm doing pretty well. As we were talking about the Clemson basketball game earlier,
damn it, Kale, I'm mad. I'm a little bit perturbed.
I couldn't find it.
You.
And on my betnow.edu. EU, whatever it is, account. I like to just sprinkle stuff on the money line on games of interest for me. Sometimes I think I might be able to make a little money, and I won't ever, lay a whole ton of money down or anything. But tonight I just sprinkled $20 on the money line. $20, and if this one came in, I would have won myself $150 as I took on the money line, the Valparaiso Crusaders.
Valpo, okay.
To win straight up, yes, against the Loyola of Chicago Ramblers, and they were 11.5-point underdogs. Yeah.
Okay. Well, what happened?
I came close, but Valparaiso dropped a close one to Loyola by a score of 75-39. Vote for life. Fuck it.
Yeah, kind of missed on that. Yeah, that's kind of crazy. I got nothing on that. We got a lot of stuff to get into this evening. Ryan Helinski is transferred. South Carolina fills out their staff.
Thank God.
Yeah, finally. hopefully nobody leaves before the show's over. We have to do it again. Will Muschamp may or may not have a job with UGA. Who the hell knows? The Gamecock basketball team is looking kind of thin. The Clemson basketball team. I'm going on my own. I can't do it as well as Jackpot, but I'm big fucking mad. That's pretty much where I'm at with the Clemson basketball team. We'll talk about that in a moment. I'm just mad, Jackpot. Let's thank the sponsors so we can get into it. Callaway's Bar and Grill out in West Columbia, callawaysbarandgrill.com. The only golden tea, what do they call it? The Golden Tea Cafe in the Midlands that I know of. They're actually going to Chicago tomorrow to see the new Golden Tea games. They're getting all over it, so there's that. go by and check them out, Callaway's Bar and Grill, callawaysbarandgrill.com. They have some really great wings, pizza, all kinds of stuff. And I do trivia there on Saturday night, so I'm up there reading folks' trivia questions. So come by and say hello. Also, we have DNC Trucking and Transport. I just sent you the script, Jackpot. And this is the fireside chats with Uncle Kale as we all snuggle up when it's warm and we listen to the goodness of Carolina Jackpot in the upstate. Have at it, sir.
Okay, quick quiz. As you know, I have a memory like an elephant.
Yes.
And I'm pretty sure, let me scroll back. Let me double check. Yes.
This is
the same script from Sunday.
I know,
right?
Because the one I wrote from earlier today, I forgot to add it to my notes. So that's why.
Who fell asleep at the goddamn wheel there?
Well, goddamn.
Okay.
Goddamn.
Goddamn. Anyway, whatever the fuck. Let me go on ahead with this one. Again. It sucks to be a Gamecock. The two new coordinators for South Carolina make a combined total of $1.8 million a year. Clemson pays Brent Venables $2.6 million a year. It is obvious We are a low-rent government cheese program that can't afford elite assistance. Brad Scott took us to our first bowl game win. We treat him with shame. He should have a banner in our stadium noting this great win. We have plenty of space in our ghetto stadium. It sucks to be a Gamecock. Go Tigers.
That message courtesy. What the hell was that? You're looking back and forth.
Well, I was Wilson. Because I read it the other night, I was trying to read it from memory.
And
I did pretty good with it.
Pretty good.
I only had to look at it about five times.
We enjoy this this segment of the show with Fireside Chats with Uncle Jackpot. All right, so let's get into it. You want to do you want to talk about Tennessee? You want to go with that first, then we'll get into hoops. Maybe I'll calm down a little bit with the McDonald's bags. What a shithole Tennessee has turned into. I mean, you know, with you and I growing up, we're close the same age. You would be the older big brother that I never wanted, but you know, when we were growing up, Tennessee was outstanding. Now, Tennessee is an absolute shithole. I mean, what a shithole of a program.
Yeah, they were. They had your national championship run there in 98, or was it 98, 97, the late 90s, I think, was the heyday. I mean, really before that, I mean, they were above average, but I mean, they weren't like fucking elite. And then after the late 90s, then they fell back into the above average category for like the first part of the 2000s. And then, I mean, it's been pretty average at best since then. I mean, I'm a little disappointed that the Gamecocks haven't been able to, get some more wins against them since they've been kind of down. But, I mean, honestly, I mean, 2013 and 14, South Carolina had better teams both years and lost to them.
You didn't win, Jackpot. Come on now. I mean, that's like me saying if I'm 6'8", I'll be in the NBA with my jump shot. So what?
Okay, that's my point, that we had better teams and didn't win. So that's why, hence the disappointment that I just referenced. And I've never seen people talk about that. I have never seen any program in my life that thinks that they should be good or perched among the elite, whatever you want to call it, and they're just not. The expectations are like here, and what you're coming in at is here. You ain't getting no better.
That's definitely true. I was looking at it. Tennessee's last 10-win season was in 2007. They had back-to-back 9-win seasons in 2005 and 2006. But that year in the – let's say in 1989, 11 wins, 9 wins, 9 wins, 9 wins, 8 wins, 11 wins, 10, 11, 13-0 when they won the national title in 98. 9, 8, 11, 8, 10, 10, 5. I mean, it's just been downhill ever since. So I kind of talked about this on my rundown show today, or the past couple days, and I get to ask you, I think that they're going to be on line with Vanderbilt before long. I mean, I really believe that. I think they are the worst program right now in the SEC. The only thing that keeps Vanderbilt from being there is academics. But as far as being a fully funded program, they are the worst in the conference. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would. Anybody who wants to sit there and tell me, well, South Carolina's going to make a difference, South Carolina's going to make a difference to fire because you're 88th recruiting. Let's see where that recruiting class of Tennessee ends up when all is said and done with all the decommitments. At least we have a coach. We have a fully functional staff. We have a clean program. We need to add some depth. I mean, that's obvious. But the pieces are there. The pieces are there. Goddamn, if you didn't listen to that press conference from that strength coach yesterday, and just, I mean, he just made me want to go eat some fucking nails, man. Run through a damn brick wall. I mean, the motherfucker brings a new energy. I like it. And all these guys, man, they just, damn, I'm just excited. Well, it's guarded optimism, but I'm excited. I like it.
Hey, man, you know, and being being someone that's on the other side of the fence, you guys, and I'm not saying this being a smartass. Oh, shit. Jackpot's dog's losing it. Ziggy tails. anyway, and I'm not saying this in a mocking manner, but this is the best that I've seen South Carolina on the perception of the program out to the public in years. I mean, in years. I mean, the stuff they put out with the strength coach, Shane Beamer, every press conference he does, he looks like he's just energetic and over the top and ready for damn August to get here, because in his mind, it's, we're going to go whip some ass. That's just the vibe that you get from him. And they're winning this damn knockdown and drag out as far as just the perception of where the program is. Now, will that come to wins next year? I don't know.
Over on YouTube, Hunter Slay says, Jackpot, you sound like us when Pruitt arrived. Now look where we're at. With all due respect, okay, I mean, I'm not saying this because I'm Homer and I'm just trying to talk him up, but I have never heard anybody say anything negative about Shane Beamer. I mean, personality-wise, coaching-wise, just I haven't heard anybody say anything negative about the guy. Other than that thing down at Georgia, we won't talk about that.
Well, the only thing that I've heard people say about the Shane Beamer hire is that, how has he been an assistant for so long and his dad wouldn't give him a job? But as far as Shane Beamer, the person, and what he's done so far, what the hell else would you want him to do? He's been busting his balls to get guys to come in there. I mean, you know.
Jeremy Pruitt, I mean, I heard way before here that he was just a bad dude. I mean, he was shit. I mean, he couldn't had problems getting along with his coaching staff at Georgia. I mean, had problems. Didn't he have problems getting along with Mark Richt? While I was only at Florida State for 1 year, I've never really heard anything super outstanding about his character. And I mean, all that, I mean, kind of manifested itself in an utter shit show yesterday.
Well, I have to be honest. I was one of the guys that thought that Pruitt would do great stuff. But you know what I did? I went back and looked at some Pruitt press conferences. And I tell you what, man. I looked at like his first one, and then I looked at some different ones from the past couple of seasons so I could see if there was something that I could draw from this guy. He is a country hillbilly bumpkin. When you see him talk, he sounds like Otis the Drunk from Andy the Griffith Show. I mean, he really fucking does. And I'm sitting here thinking, man, I'm going on the air talking about, man, this guy's going to turn Tennessee around. And look at this great recruiting class, which turned out to be horse shit. This guy made me look like a jerk off. And he's Otis from the Andy Griffith Show.
I hope he gets another job somewhere so he can keep that little clip around.
Jesus Christ. You know what? I'm upset with you because you let me keep saying shit like that. I wouldn't have done that to you. I would have texted you behind the scenes and said, you know what? You need to stop rallying around that asshole. You're going to look like an idiot on the air. I'm a good enough friend to you to do that for you, but you just let me fly in the breeze like a bag of dicks, Kale, and I'm upset with you for that.
Don't blame it on me that this fucking dumbass that didn't even know what a damn asparagus was, that all this shit blew up in his face.
Fucking
don't lay that on my bald-headed doorstep,
well,
sir.
You need to hit my damn text message and tell me, you know what? You're fucking being stupid, and as your friend, you're making the show look bad, you dick. This guy is a hillbilly. Look at this press conference. How is this guy a leader of men? Motherfucker is giving people McDonald's bags with cash in them.
To be fair, Steve Spurrier was a hillbilly.
But Steve Spurrier, when he talked, he could string together.
He was from Johnson City, Tennessee.
That doesn't mean anything. He could string together sentences. This motherfucker didn't know what asparagus was. Why didn't you save me from this, Jackpot? Are you mad at me? What's wrong with you?
Nah.
Jesus. It's fucking
shit. Jerome Pruitt says Kevin Steele will get it turned around. You know, I was listening to Tater Radio this morning on the way into work, and they were talking about him. You know what his record as a head coach was.
I think he's 11 games under 500 or something like that. It's not really
no, bad. It was like 9-35.
Oh,
his conference record. His conference record was like 1-31. They said if he wins 30 conference games in a row, he'll be 500. Where was he even a coach at?
Baylor. He was at Baylor.
Or was they were that fucking bad?
I think it was. Hold on, I gotta look it up now because now you're making me. Now I don't want to say.
Look it up and make sure that they weren't bullshitting. But
no, I mean I don't. They, you know, they. Even though they, well, never mind. I won't say bad things about Tater Radio because I don't like this, the whole hometown radio shit. He was, let's see here, head coaching record 9-37. Here you go, the head coaching record. He was at Baylor, yeah. He was 1-10, 2-9, 3-8, and 3-9, and 0-1 at Auburn. 0-1.
What years was he the head coach man at Baylor? Because I don't remember this.
No, of course not. 99 to 2002, he was at Baylor. Yeah, so.
So that would have been after Grant Taff or Teef or however you say that. He was the coach there for a long time.
Yeah.
So that would have been after Mr. Grant.
I mean, these are Will Muschamp. These are worse than Will Muschamp numbers. He was at Baylor.
Oh, that's terrible. That's like Kansas State before Bill Snyder numbers.
Yeah, that's pretty fucking shit.
That's like 1980s Northwestern numbers.
Yeah. Well, anyway, so there's that at Tennessee.
That's like 98-99 Gamecock numbers.
It's
like Kansas numbers.
Wow.
That's not Vanderbilt numbers.
Any other numbers you want to throw out there?
Mm-mm.
Yeah. Let's just say he was shitty there, but he's going to rescue the Tennessee program. By the way, who wants that fucking shit job? I mean, seriously.
I don't know. One of the things that I found hilarious, I was just looking over, just like reading stuff about it or whatever and who they might go after. First of all, and I mentioned this on the video yesterday, Jason Witten. What the fuck? What has he ever coached?
Well, at this juncture,
isn't he active on the NFL roster right now?
I mean, the other name was Jeff Fisher. Remember Jeff Fisher, coached with the Rams and the Titans?
Well, Uncle Lou. Well, Uncle Lou was talking about that the first day it came out. He said Jeff Fisher. Has last been a head coach about 7 or 8 years ago, and his last experience in college was when he played there 40 years ago for Southern Cal. That was his last experience with college football.
Yeah.
It's like they were talking about John Gruden going there. Right. His last experience with college football was like 30-something years ago.
Well, and Jeff Fisher and Hunter Slay's talking about this. Hunter Slay says, seriously, y'all don't believe everything you read. Jeff Fisher is on the record that he would be interested in the job. That came from his mouth. That's not, I mean, I've actually physically heard the clip, so, or read it, either way. So the guy is right there with it.
Anyway, while I was reading about it, some other candidates, and one of the candidates that they had mentioned was Lance Leopold, the guy from the one we talked about when the Gamecocks were looking for coach, the guy from Buffalo who's won like 95% of his games as a head coach in like, I don't know, 15 years of coaching. And apparently Vanderbilt interviewed Leopold, and he was their second choice, but they decided to hire this Clark Lee character because he went to Vanderbilt. Okay, well, he's a defensive coordinator by trade, and you want to get away from the defensive-minded people there at Vanderbilt and get with the offensive-minded guys. So what do? They turn around and hire Derek Mason again after they fired Derek Mason. But anyway, Leopold was like their second choice, I guess. They didn't hire him. So it said something about, would the Vols stoop so low as to go after someone who Vanderbilt turned down for the job? Are you fucking kidding me at this point?
What was it on the 247 site? It was like They have 51 violations, either level one or level two. They're going to be, their best bet is just to hope someone wants to come there. I mean, at this juncture, I mean, it is that bad at Tennessee right now. And I honestly think that they're the worst program in the SEC.
Okay, Vol Nation News GBO says still going to beat South Carolina ass this year. Okay. I'm going to bet you right now. I'm going to throw it out there right now. I'm going to bet you $100 right now that y'all don't beat South Carolina this year, that South Carolina takes your ass down in Knoxville. So when I'm right, in 8 months, 9 months, whatever it is, I'll be here, and I'm going to screenshot this right now, and your ass better pay up.
Make sure he's in. Okay. I mean, if you believe that much in it, I mean, my phone is literally every – I've had, what, 5 or 6 notifications about, you know, Tennessee players transferring. I mean, you're out of your mind to take that bet. You don't know what the hell you're going to have on the field.
You.
I mean, seriously. You know what, Kale? You're stealing money, Kale. You're stealing money from these Vols fans that think they're going to have a team.
He'll pay me, bet me $25. Okay, I'll bet you $25. Let me go read screenshot.
Ah, shit.
I already tweeted at Henry To'o that he needs to come to Columbia because he already knows where the end zone is here.
You're tweeting at players now, Kale? Holy shit.
Well, he put it up that
in fairness, they're not attached to a university, so why not? I guess we will allow it. Why not?
I said, come to Columbia. You already know where the end zone is.
Who's that, their other running back? He's also
Eric
in the portal.
Eric Gray and Ty Chandler are both gone. Ty Chandler transferred to UNC. Eric Gray is in the protocol right now. Yeah. Henry To'o is in the protocol.
It's basically a flea market from a failure program.
Barris Crouch is in the protocol. He's from Charlotte. That guy could end up at South Carolina. I know the Gamecocks recruited him.
let me put this out there. The Gamecocks don't need Eric Gray.
They don't need him. But either one, Crouch or the other linebacker would be nice to have. We need some more depth. That linebacker core shit.
There's the wide receiver, too, they had that transferred that went into the portal. He was a commit that was going there. So we were talking about that earlier today, too.
Jalen Hyatt?
Jalen Hyatt, yeah. That's another one. Shane Beamer should get a damn one of those extended stays in Knoxville down there near the stadium and just start pulling them in. Come on down. We got plenty of room for you at South Carolina because – a lot of our shithole players decided to leave. We've got a new coaching staff. We got rid of the shitholes that were here that were killing the program. So take off that nasty Tennessee orange and get your shit together and you can come play here. And by the way, we play Tennessee, so you can kick them in the mouth. Why not? I read he's in the portal, though, Vol Nation. I could be wrong, but there you go with that. So... Hi. Well, if I'm wrong, correct me. But if he does go in the portal, he needs to. There's a spot in Columbia for him because the Gamecocks need help at wide receiver, really bad. So bad they might let Jackpot try out. Get your ass out there and catch some balls there.
I mean, does it not get to a point at some point in time where some of these guys just leave because their buddies are all fucking gone? I mean, it's really. Get to that point.
Well, Ponsall Lemon Scent, you know, we can take this question really quick here.
What's he say?
He says, which games does the Gamecocks have a real chance at winning next season? That's good, too. Also, thanks for the super chat to Bluegrass Sports Media. Jackpot, I'll bet you on the Kentucky game next year. $100 just for you, and I'll send it now. I trust you. So with, you know, he thank you for the super chat, sir. You're going to take $100 on the Kentucky game. We're going to have Kale's fucked before the end of the show.
I'll bet you $50 on that one, but I'm not going to take your money right now. Don't do that.
So 50 on Kentucky and 25 on Tennessee. Is that where you're
going? Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's answer.
I feel confident about both those.
All right. Well, and I'm the one that leans to the other side, but we could do this all over and over and over again. But the projected schedule for next season for the South Carolina Gamecocks looks like this. And Ponsall asks the games that we think they can win next year. Jackpot.
Because last year was a COVID year. And this coming year, guess what? This fucking coming year is a COVID year. I get so sick and tired of hearing that phrase. It's a COVID year. Every year from here on until the foreseeable future is going to be a COVID year because of the lingering effects of the virus on 2020. It's going to have a ripple out effect for many years to come. So they're all going to be goddamn COVID years. Stop saying that 2020 was a COVID year as if there were more than one.
Yeah, but you also have the Muschamp stench that you have to get off this program because, remember, he was there. That's like having COVID times 10. So we're being honest, we have to think about that too. Anyway, for South Carolina's schedule next season, it looks like you've got Eastern Illinois. I think we give you the win over Eastern Illinois. Are you confident going to East Carolina?
I think we slide by them.
All right, well, are you confident with going to East Carolina?
I think we could probably pull it out in the fourth quarter.
Okay. Troy, you confident with that game?
Yeah, I think they're on a downward spiral.
All right. Clemson, you're not winning that game.
I don't know about that, but anyway, okay. Three and one.
At Georgia, you confident in that game?
Stop.
At Georgia.
No.
Okay. So that's 3-2. At Mizzou. That's a toss-up game.
Mm.
Probably a loss.
I don't know how they're going to look.
They've got Bedazzlesack back. They do lose.
Bedazzlesack's back. It's going to see who's he throwing the ball to. South Carolina should have beaten them this past year. That was the first game after Muschamp, and they just looked lost. But Missouri looked lost.
Right.
We should have won that game, but we didn't. So I'll just take a loss on that one because it's on the road. And I'm assuming that we'll have some crowds in these games now.
All right, so 3-3 so far. Auburn, that game is at home. What do you think about that one?
Win.
Okay, well, we're going to go with Jackpots on these. Jackpots got them at 4-3. Florida at home.
I don't know. I don't know who's going to be playing quarterback for them. If there was any indication of what we're going to see, you know what? I think we pulled the upset. I think we'll win that one.
All right. Jackpot's got you at 5-3. You've already said you're taking Kentucky. You're going to beat Kentucky. So that's 6-3. Vanderbilt.
Yep.
7-3. Tennessee.
I think we beat them in overtime.
8-3. At Texas A&M.
0-8.
All right. Well, Jackpot's got you at 8-4. I've got you.
We're not winning eight games.
That's what you just said, brother. I didn't say it. You did.
I got to take one of those off.
Okay. Which one? Take
Florida off. Okay. Right.
So that's got you at 7 wins.
Let's say Florida has some awesome 4 and 5 stars coming in to fill those positions that I don't know about. And that Dan Mullen coaches out of his mind. He incites that we're winning at halftime. And he incites some kind of crazy shit right before halftime. We come out and get a bunch of personal foul penalties to start the second half, and we go into a funk, and Coach Beamer's young team plays undisciplined in the second half and loses.
All right, well, that puts you at 7-5. My overly optimistic is at 6-6. I think you lose to Auburn, lose to Florida, and then
fuck Auburn.
Well, see, but you're just saying that because of the fact that they took those coaches. You should thank Auburn. You should send them a Christmas card for taking those sorry-ass coaches down there because they weren't doing shit here anyway.
Yeah, well, here's my thing about that.
What?
Too. This fucking coach that they brought in from Boise State, Okay, why does he need to go by and hire a bunch of S? Is he that unconfident in his ability to lead an SEC program that he has to go surround himself with SEC retreads to be successful? Well, I would have thought that would have been an out of the box hire.
Right.
I thought he would have been bringing some out of the box hires with him. I thought he would be bringing his staff with him.
Well,
that's how it usually works.
Well, but you have to remember this too. He was coaching in the Mountain West on a field that looks like a Smurf's ass. I mean, you can't take that seriously there. I mean, seriously, come on, man. I mean, Boise State? Ugh. Come on now. But yeah, I don't know what the hell his problem is. Auburn kind of, I don't think Auburn should have fired Malzahn. What the hell do you want this guy to do? He's racks up, you know, what was he, 35 games over 500? But Tennessee has to hire a guy who needs a 30-game conference winning streak to get even. They should be calling Malzahn quick. So, all right, well, let's talk for
Begin Megan says you've lost your damn mind, crackpot. You won't win 5 games this year, guaranteed. All right.
Well,
screenshot that one too, so we can come back to it.
What?
I love the way these start. They don't understand. There are a lot of teams. We're rebuilding the roster. Yeah, that roster was remanaged. Mismanaged. Excuse me, not remanaged. We were dealing with the Muschamp stench, but what you don't understand is our opposition. I mean, that schedule is a lot easier this year than what it has been because, I mean, look at the shape Tennessee's in, look at the shape Vanderbilt's in. Look, Kentucky's nothing impressive to me. Missouri lost a ton of players too. Look at Auburn. I think they're a shithole. They're going out hiring coaches from a 2-8 team to fill out their damn staff, going and trying to steal their fucking recruits and every damn thing else. I think that schedule is infinitely easier, especially on the non-conference side of things. The non-conference side of things is infinitely easier. And, I mean, you're facing Clemson at a time when they're in an offensive transition.
Okay, not
so, I mean, who knows how good they're going to be?
Look, the Gamecock schedule has 5 wins on it guaranteed. I'll stand by that right now. They'll win the 3 non-conference games that are not involving the Clemson Tigers, and they're going to beat Tennessee, and they're going to beat Vanderbilt. They're going to have 5 wins next year. I'm telling you that on January the 20th. And I don't give a shit who plays quarterback, whatever. They will ride Kevin Harris to 5 wins next year regardless, because everybody on that team has a chip on their shoulder and they want to get rid of that Muschamp stench. So they're going to blow through those 5 games easily.
Be it as it may, though, I mean, Clemson, that's huge to have Justin Ross coming back next year. I didn't think that he would come back, but
yep.
I guess he wants to come back and, you know, from the injury and, up his draft stock a little bit. Nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
So that gives Ukulele somebody to throw the ball to that's dependable. Because these other guys, these other clowns, this Nagata and this whatever this other guys were that was supposed to take the top off every defense from here to Kingdom Come right. last year, who did absolutely nothing, or have not proven themselves to be worthy of that of wearing that orange.
Well. A couple of things. One, I was doing my show on Fox Sports Radio the other day, and I almost called him Ukulele because I'm so used to you calling him that, which would have been fucking I would have caught some hell for that. But the other thing too is Clemson's got all 11 starters coming back on defense, and the way that defense has gotten lit up in the playoffs, maybe that's not a good fucking thing. Side note: Xavier Thomas, what a disaster he's been. I was sitting there thinking, maybe this guy won't come back because he's been a distraction. He ends up in Dabo Sweeney's doghouse. He's in there playing damn finger puppets with Darion Kendrick, who's supposed to be an all-world player, and they both end up looking like jerk-offs. But they'll be out there the first game of the season. So SEC dog, but you know what? JT Daniels may have a fucking field day the first game of the year. That may happen.
Clemson's secondary sucks. I think getting Xavier Thomas back is huge as well.
No shot. I wouldn't let Xavier Thomas walk my dogs. Seriously.
Over on YouTube, Eduardo Rojo says, took forever to get to my phone, but I'm a Boise State fan. Not cool, my dude.
Well, I'm sorry that we offended you, Captain
Smurf. Is that somebody you know from one of your other Facebook groups?
I don't know. If that's the case.
I didn't say anything disparaging about Boise State, sir, other than I just thought that coach would bring his own staff with him.
I did. So. I said your turf that you play on looks like a Smurf's ass. I said that.
Well, assume that he's talking to you.
Send your hate tweets to @RobSoundsGood. I don't have a problem with that. Your turf does look like a Smurf's ass. So, sorry.
Looks like a Smurf's front, too.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Will Muschamp, by the way, let's get into this quickly before we get out of here. Will Muschamp was apparently there was a report that he had his own parking spot at Georgia and everything else. There's been no official announcement that he's going to be hired, but we're just told that he is visiting. That was the second report that we've gotten out there, is that he's just visiting, but he can go wherever the hell he wants to go on as far as the football complex, and apparently has his own parking spot. Yeah. Your thoughts on that, Jackpot, as he still collects money?
Yeah. His son plays there, right? Is he still on the team?
Yeah.
So maybe he's visiting him.
Well, parents get their own parking spot at the football facility?
This is true. This is true. Alfred the Savage over on YouTube says, Boise is good. They beat Oklahoma. Yes, they did, sir. Back when John Cena was a rookie in WWE. How many years ago has that been? 2002?
Look at these Tennessee fans running their mouth. Eric says, Tennessee is 11-6 versus Clemson all time. Okay. Clemson doesn't play you every year, first of all. And how many people over in the chat room think if Clemson squared off with Tennessee now, what would happen?
Clemson bent them over and stuck one deep inside of them. They made they made unnatural love to Tennessee the last time they played them in a bowl game.
Yeah. I was at that bowl game, by the way.
Just saying, I'm not taking up for the taters.
Well, you know what? I was at the Tennessee-Clemson bowl game, and my wife my wife bought me tickets for that. I think that was the turning point where it's like, time to marry this woman. She done bought me tickets to a bowl game, and I go up there and with my buddy Danny, and we got hammered on peach daiquiris and watched Clemson beat that ass. The Tennessee fans were they were not happy. Not happy at all.
That was wasn't that Chad Jasmine? He scored a couple of touchdowns that game.
Yeah, Chad Jasmine had a hell of a fucking two-game set there, where he deep-dicked South Carolina and then Tennessee all within about a month's time. He was killing.
There were multiple players on that team that deep-dicked South Carolina that year.
Mm-hmm. Chancey Stuckey, remember him? Yeah.
Yeah, he scored the last touchdown. I broke a bone in my hand during that game too.
No. What now? We haven't told this story. How did you break a bone in your hand?
I was at home watching that game, and I was married at the time. And my ex-wife, she wasn't a big football fan at all, and. I was watching the game, and I start yelling at the TV pretty much from the opening kick, and I was pretty upset, especially when Clemson went up 7-0. And when it was 14-0, I was real upset. And she was watching some Lifetime movie, some shit down the hallway, and she's like, "What's the matter with you?" And I said, "We're getting our ass kicked." She said, "I'm not gonna turn it off then." And I'm like, "I'm not gonna turn it off. Come back." Anyway, I don't remember if it was at the 21-0 point or the 28-10 point or something. I'm like, God damn it. Bam, bam, bam. Oh, I just did something there. And I heard something pop. And it's swollen up and really bad. And I never got it examined like I should have or anything. But I had deduced from that. It hurt really bad for like 2 weeks. So I deduced from that I had broken a bone in my hand.
Well, that's no good. I took my my stepdad to his first game. That was his first game. He's a big Gamecock fan like you. And he was all adamant that South Carolina was going to win that game. So we get up there, and I drove, right? And I had us tickets, and we're sitting up there in the top of that damn shithole on Bluff Road. And Clemson goes up 35-17 at the half. And he looks at me and goes, well, time to go. And I looked at him and said, I drove, and my keys don't work till the clock hits zero. I made him sit and watch the rest of that game, as he was probably the only Gamecock fan left. And by the way, South Carolina actually, as soon as the game hit zeros, they turned the scoreboards off. They didn't want anybody seeing that shit. As the Clemson fans laughed at them crazily. By the way,
well, they did that at Clemson a few years before that as well. So
Brock says, shut up, Rob. You'll get pissed that Clemson is 11-6 against Tennessee because they don't play every year. And Clemson would beat UT right now, but then you'll shit on South Carolina for losing to the YMCA. Thank you for admitting that South Carolina lost to the YMCA. Appreciate you commenting there, Brock. Thanks so much. Basketball before we get out of here, Jackpot. South Carolina last night. Are they going to snap out of this COVID thing or not? Because Frank Martin looks like he's constipated.
How the fuck do you get beat worse when your coach is actually coaching the team than you got beat when your coach is sitting at home 500 miles away?
So you're saying that Frank Martin should just let the assistants coach and he should just stay in COVID is what you're telling me?
Well, if it continues that way, I didn't say you should stay in COVID. Maybe you should stay home for a little while. How the hell does that happen?
I don't know.
It makes no sense.
I don't know. Do you think they're going to bounce out of it or not?
Yeah, I think they will, but I don't know if they're going to bounce out of it enough to make a dig. Real quick, over on YouTube, BLST says, Georgia in, not South Carolina. Georgia actually has talent for Muschamp to work with. Do you care to rattle him off that 24/7 composite talent score?
Yes. South Carolina had the 21st ranked roster as far as overall talent heading into this season. So Muschamp had talent. He's just a fucking shithead.
Theoretically speaking, you should be about the 21st best team in the country. Now, you could probably – that could ebb and flow a little bit or go up or down a little bit, but you should be somewhere in the top 30 with that kind of roster, wouldn't you say?
Yes, there's that.
Yeah.
By the way, someone asked if we were taking calls. 803-470-2905,
803-470-2905. Drew Grove says Xavier Thomas will be just fine. Okay, he hasn't for 3 years, but this is going to be the year. I'm just saying.
Shit. I mean.
I'm sorry, sir. You're the one who asked me to do this podcast, and I'm going to talk shit.
Well, here, I got to go over this really quick here. We're going to take calls at 803-470-2905.
21st means last in the SEC. No, it doesn't.
No, it doesn't. Steve Spurrier won. He had 19, 18 classes. Fucking you can win with that. Gus Malzahn was the same way. All right, out to the phones we go.
Texas A&M fan.
Good evening. Welcome in to the Rob and Kale podcast. What's up?
What's going on, guys?
What's up?
Hunter Slade.
Hi, Hunter.
Had to call in.
Well, what you got, brother?
I've been crying and cussing and then crying some more and cussing some more. But, seriously, I mean, looking on the outside, you all on the outside looking in, where do you go from here?
You're talking about at Tennessee?
No. Yeah.
If you want me to be completely unbiased and not mock and say that maybe you should have used Chick-fil-A bags instead or maybe Taco Bell bags, I don't know. But as far as being realistic here, Tennessee needs a guy like Jim Grobe that was at Wake Forest, and he went to Baylor when Baylor had their issues and had basically where they had the issues with the rape stuff and all of that. He went there and basically just said, you know what? And the school was the same way. We may go 0-12, who cares? But we're going to try to rebuild the quote-unquote culture here and do what we're supposed to do. Now Baylor, they end up working and bouncing their way out of it. That's what Tennessee needs. They need somebody like that. And, you know, I don't know who that can be, but they also need someone that will go in front of the media and can take questions and not be a jerk-off like Will Muschamp. They need somebody that's warm and fuzzy, but they can't give a shit for the next 2 years that they're not going to win any games. And
I think it's pretty much impossible to find someone as big of a jerk-off as Will Muschamp.
Well, slow your rolls. We can take
a poll. I don't know. Pruitt was pretty close.
Pruitt was pretty close. He's just a bumpkin. But anyway,
he made Tennessee fans look pretty literate. Well, I mean, that's bad.
Well, but no, honestly, though, I think that's the way they need to go is just get somebody that – All right. Get somebody that's stable, that's going to, you know, understand, hey, you're dealing with this stuff, and tell them, look, we're going to pay you for 3 years regardless, and we're not going to give a shit. Just go out there and don't embarrass us on the field, meaning, yeah, you're going to lose games, but we don't need players getting arrested and all that shit. We want you to have academic honor roll and then start recruiting.
We don't need players threatening to blow up the school after they beat up their girlfriends.
Mr. Boogie says Tom Herman. Yeah.
Tom Herman.
Holy shit.
But they're going to have somebody there. They're going to have to be able to sign somebody to a long-term contract and give them a long rope to play with. It's like when Matt Rhule was the one who took over the job at Baylor. Jim Grobe was only there for like a season, right?
For a year.
He took it over. Mm-hmm. And then Matt Rhule said that he wasn't taking that job at Baylor unless they would give him like a 7-year contract because he knew it was going to take a while to clean. And he ended up turning around in just a couple of years.
Well,
I mean, it didn't take him long.
Right.
Because you remember, like, it was like 2015. I think it was the Art Briles last season there. They played UNC in some bowl game. Remember, that was the UNC team that only lost one regular season game. It was the Gamecocks,
by the way. They played for the Big 12 title last season. Not this season, but the season before. They played for the Big 12 championship.
So, right. So fast forward to 2019. So it was 2016, 17, and 18. It took them to rebuild. And I think they played in a bowl game one of those years. And beat Vanderbilt. So it didn't take long to get it really turned around there at Baylor.
And it goes back to what you all were saying with Vanderbilt, you know, hiring the DC from Notre Dame. Rhule, I may be wrong, but is Rhule not an offensive guy? He's an offensive guru.
Oh, yeah, he's an offensive guy, absolutely.
So that's what it took to get, you know, and I think – especially with the way Bama's playing and the way any top-tier SEC team is playing, it's going to take a surefire offense. I mean, you know, a guy that can run an offense, not a defensive coordinator.
Dave Clawson at Wake Forest, Justin Martin, said it before I could. Yeah. He's got
– Clawson was at UT once.
I know. That's what I'm saying. He's got Tennessee ties. Go and throw the damn bank in him. You're saving all the money you've got with with Jeremy Pruitt.
The buyout. Clawson,
you're saving all that. Go and get Clawson. Back up the Brinks truck and let him come to Tennessee because I tell you what, the offense that he runs is designed for teams that don't have a good offensive line. You get a good running back and a decent quarterback that can run, you might be able to parlay that into some wins. Now, you're probably going to be on probation, but Clawson is a hell of an option for Tennessee if they have the balls to go and do it. That's what they should do. Go ahead.
Sorry. Go ahead.
All right.
This one right here, I just got addressed. Fireball says, I say we go with Malzahn. He will get us 6 wins next year, then 8 wins, and then get someone better. Okay, so you go hire him, and he wins you 14 games over 2 years, and then you're going to repay him for winning more games in 2 years than you've won in the last 4 by firing him? That makes no sense.
Excellent point.
The only good thing I can say, and I'll get off, let somebody else get on, but the only good thing I can say from what I'm hearing is all three quarterbacks, as of now, are still on board. So Bailey, Caden Sauter, which was a big big commit this year for them, and then Hooker. They're all three still, as of now, planning to stay. Of course, that can change in a hurry.
Okay. Well, good. Good luck, bro. That's the only thing I can say.
Hey, look.
Try not to finish behind fucking Vanderbilt
basketball. And then the basketball team goes and takes the biggest crap ever against Florida last night. It was just ridiculous.
Well, yeah, you know, you don't see very many of the yard crew with their Tennessee hats on today when they're out there cutting the grass.
No. All right, guys, love the show.
Appreciate it. All right, well,
see y'all.
Jackpot, I got to get this out about Clemson basketball, and then we can go. I texted you before we started the show, and I'm big fucking mad. And I'll tell you why I'm big fucking mad. Clemson went to Georgia Tech tonight and got mouth pumped.
By the nerds.
Yeah, by a bunch of damn engineering students at Georgia Tech. This game pissed me off, and I'll tell you why. Clemson gave up a shit ton of threes against Virginia. It was 15-plus threes against Virginia. So you would think, all right, if that happens, then we're going to try to put out a better defensive effort in the next game. What does Georgia Tech do? They hit 15-plus threes. Brad Brownell is supposed to have this team full of guys.
58% the past two games.
Yeah. Brad Brownell is supposed to have this fucking
team. Just throw
that
out there.
Well, thank you, sir. Why don't you just kick me in the nuts on the way out? But they're not doing shit, and it's fucking frustrating. And there was one segment where John Newman III does not play fucking defense at all, okay? There's one segment. Clemson's down by, I think it was 13. He takes a dumb shot, doesn't run the ball down. Tech runs up, hits a three, and then because he didn't get back on defense, they throw him the ball back again. He's looking the wrong direction, basically. The ball goes out of bounds. Tech gets it again, hits another three, then steals the inbound pass that Newman throws, and then they stole it and then got a layup. They go from down 13 to down 22 in literally 75 seconds of real time. Fucking goddamn. Get your shit together.
Planting one right up y'all's posterior down there, ain't they?
Well, Jackpot was right.
Looking,
I can admit, when Jackpot
looking
was
like,
right.
Looking like Bobby Crimmins and Mark Price running around.
Well, we look like fucking shithole. That's what we look like, and it was just terrible. Absolutely terrible. Get your shit together. Stop playing John Newman III. He's fucking on another planet. He was great last year, but not this year. Nick Honor should never come off the fucking floor. Put him out there and, God, the white kid. I know that sounds racist as hell, but the white kid, put him out there and let those two fucking play. And then leave damn Sims down there in the middle and then go from there. You can interchange whoever the hell else you want. But my God, having these guys in there don't play any damn defense. It's ridiculous. A fucking shit show. Missing damn layups from fucking... I mean, They had one where they went in for a dunk and he... it was just... I'm fucking mad, Kale. It's fucking bullshit. I'm tired of it.
Hey, I feel
it's a
you.
Fucking shit show. It's depressing. Dabo Sweeney should go to them and say, you know what? You motherfuckers don't get to wear the tiger paw because I keep building that fucking brand up as the tiger paw, and the paw says it all. You fuck sticks don't get to wear the tiger paw, period. You just go out there in blank orange uniforms until you get your shit together and you're not losing to the nerds from Georgia Tech. Fucking stupid.
To be fair, they had a pretty decent record.
Fuck them.
I mean, it's not like you're losing to Wake Forest or something. I mean,
oh, we did that last
year. You'll probably do that next week, but.
Well, we got Florida State this Saturday on the road. We've already beaten them once this season. We're going to play them in Tallahassee. Clemson.
I don't think you're going to do it again.
By 20. They may lose by fucking 20 in that game.
They looked real impressive last night.
Wow.
I saw him play in Louisville.
I don't even know where to go with that. It's just fucking shit. Sucks. Jackpot, really quick before we get out of here. NFL picks for this weekend. Real quick, do you like Green Bay or Tampa Bay? Green Bay is a 3.5-point favorite. Which way are you going?
I'm not betting against Tom Brady. Sorry.
Yeah, you know that I'm a Packers fan. You were just doing that to make me really upset because I'm really upset about Clemson. Matt, a little bit perturbed. Use your line on you. All right, I'm going with Green Bay to stomp them, by the way. The next matchup, Buffalo's at Kansas City. Kansas City is a 3-point favorite. Which way are you going on that game, Jackpot?
I'll have to go with Kansas City. I don't see them losing to Buffalo. I mean, but Buffalo's having the hell of a season. Really has.
They are,
and they're capable of it. Is Mahomes playing or not?
I don't know. They say he might, but I don't know. We'll see.
If he don't play,
Buffalo wins. So
yeah,
Buffalo. By the way, I think they had that one Hail Mary loss to where DeAndre Hopkins got them. But other than that, they've been lights out. They've been really good. They've been like, if they didn't have that loss, they'd win 13 straight games. That, my friend, is fucking solid. So
Drew Grove over on YouTube says Clemson hasn't been good at basketball since Dale Davis was there. Damn, you going back with old school reference.
Old school reference, you're right.
They've been okay at some time.
Well, we were good when Oliver Purnell was there, and they had Terrence Oglesby and all those guys. And then Brabron, and then they fucking.
They were good when Rick Barnes was there for a cup of coffee.
Yeah, but when Purnell was there, he was fine until he decided to fuck the dive coach and had to go to DePaul. I mean, that's what happened there. He'd still be at Clemson. So there's that.
How are they doing this year, by the way?
DePaul sucks.
Fuck.
All right, Jackpot. It's been a good show, man. Appreciate it. We'll be back at it on Sunday. Thank you guys for watching. Y'all have a great night.